This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and you have once again tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today we are joined by Dr. Theodore Dick Tabin, a renowned, highly specialized plastic surgeon, researcher, and pioneer of minimally invasive surgical techniques with nearly 30 years of experience. He has the distinction of being one of the 180 surgeons in the U.S., certified by both the American Board of Plastic Surgery and the American Board of Otolaryngology. For 8 consecutive years, he has been listed in the prestigious Castle Connolly, New York's top doctors directory as one of the best plastic surgeons in New York. Dr. Theodore Dick Tabin, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Welcome, Eric. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, sir. So what are the main differences between cellulase and the other cellulite treatments?
Glad you asked that question, and that's a good way to begin, is that everything before cellulase was non-invasive. So a lot of people find that to be attractive because it's non-invasive, but at best, with all the lotions, the potions, the heating, the suctioning of the skin and massaging, the results at best would be temporary. And usually it was because the machinery or the potions and sometimes little injections would create some swelling and it would mask some of the appearance of the cellulite where you kind of get that orange peel or that like mattress type look. But it really didn't change the anatomy. With cellulase, which is minimally invasive, a one-time treatment, you numb up the skin underneath with a fluid that we use in liposuction, but you then put in this laser fiber, which really gets to the three components causing the cellulite. You can heat the skin to get it to be tighter and thicker. You can melt the fat that are causing some of those unsightly bulges. And you can divide these, what we call connective tissue bands beneath the skin, called fibrous septae, that actually contract and pull the skin in to give you the dimples. All three of those anatomical components can be addressed with this laser fiber. And that's the big difference compared to everything else that worked on the outside of the skin, because you really couldn't, from the outside, heat the skin enough to thicken the skin, because it would either cause a burn or patients wouldn't be able to tolerate it. The other thing was that you really couldn't massage the fat enough to break it down, because that would be too painful. And for sure, from working on the outside, there was no way you can disrupt those connective tissue bands which were causing the dimple. You needed to get to where the action is, and that's beneath the skin. And that's how they came up with it. And all you need is a little pinpoint incision to get the laser fiber into the right location. And that's in a very brief description, that's what cellulase does.
Now, can cellulase be used on all problem areas throughout the body, or is it limited to certain areas such as the legs or arms?
There's really no limitation. I mean, beneath the skin, in varying amounts, we have a fat layer, and the fat in some areas will be, let's say, bulgier because the skin is thinner. But wherever you have any of those contour irregularities, it's going to be pretty easy to just make a very small incision, because all you have to do is make the incision and get the fiber in. So other areas other than the buttocks and the thighs will be, the upper arms, the outer portion of the arms, which I find women now are coming in more readily because they know I can get to that without really any, almost a barely perceptible scar on their arm. And some people also have it in the abdomen. Those are pretty much the most common locations. But if they have it somewhere else, It's really straightforward to just numb up the area, make a small little pinpoint incision, and get to it. So that's the beauty of the small fiber. It can really fit anywhere.
What is the recovery time or the downtime?
The recovery time is pretty comparable to, you know, bread and butter liposuction. The only difference really is that you're working closer to the surface, so there's a possibility that you may see a little bit more bruising of the skin because you're close to the surface. When I first started doing it, I was concerned about any, let's say, increased sensitivity during the first couple of weeks because you're closer to the skin where there are a little more nerve endings than in the fat. And lo and behold, the patients, and thankfully so, have been very comfortable. They complain a little numbness, which is not much. The bruising and swelling hasn't been, in my hands, anything more than, let's say, even liposuction. So the recovery is relatively straightforward. Now, the results will take you know, months to see that final contour. But, you know, they're going back to the gym, let's say, after, depending on their exercise routine, as early as a week. But most people are going back 2 weeks in that range. As an office procedure, we're just giving them a couple of Valiums, a couple of painkillers, and that's it. We're doing it in one of my exam rooms. So the patients are, you know, they feel relaxed. They are awake, but they're not wide awake. They're feeling nice and kind of mellow. And they're able to turn, you know, from side to side so I can get to all of the areas. You know, some of them were talking. Some of them were telling jokes. Others are listening to their iPod. So, or we have piped in music as well. So it's a comfortable environment. And, yeah, we put on a garment like you do with liposuction, and then they go home with an escort.
That's not too bad at all. Now, with so many treatments emerging that are less invasive, where do you see plastic surgery heading?
The non-invasive treatments have definitely gotten better. There's no question about it. And the element that they use in terms of this improvement is really controlling heat. And I tell people, heat and the skin, if it's matched up properly, you can get an excellent result. But some people's skin will not contract enough, no matter if you put even in the right amount of heat to a given area. And I use the example that if you have a pair of jeans and they're a little too big, what most people do, they throw them in the dryer with the idea that the heat will get the cotton fibers to contract and the jeans will fit in a more fitted manner. But if it doesn't, then you're going to need to go to the tailor. And that's where some people still will need to have some of that loose and or excessive skin tailored in the form of, you know, traditional surgery. So not everyone's, let's say, fabric or skin is going to contract with heat, whether it's internal like with cellulase or external like some of the other, you know, modalities that are on the market. So some people will still need to have, you know, to have their skin, you know, removed in a very contoured, precise manner.
Today we are with Dr. Theodore Dictaven, a renowned, highly specialized plastic surgeon, researcher, and pioneer of minimally invasive surgical techniques with nearly 30 years of experience, and has been listed in the prestigious Castle Connolly, New York's top doctors directory as one of the best plastic surgeons in the state of New York. Here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network, Dr. Dictaven, do you see this trend continuing to the point where going under the knife will be a thing of the past?
I don't think going under the knife will be a thing of the past. There are going to be certain people that do have poor elasticity in their skin or have excess skin that just won't contract enough with some of the treatment modalities that we have to heat the skin. The non-surgical modalities have definitely gotten better over the years. I've been doing some preliminary research with another company. It's not FDA approved yet, but I'm seeing excellent, promising results for skin contraction. But once again, it's not FDA approved yet. We're just doing some clinical studies, and I've been very happy with the outcome. More and more people are in tune with plastic surgery. So if they start at a younger age and they are a student of maintenance and they come back on a regular basis, then those people will most likely be able to avoid any kind of surgical intervention or delay it until, let's say, a much later, you know, age to undergo any kind of surgical intervention. So I think maintenance is important. So if people do things like that, they may not ever need to have surgery. But once again, you know, anesthetic techniques have improved tremendously. We have a much better understanding of wound healing. So as much as some people are afraid to have surgery, either because, you know, anesthetic risks, and a lot of people don't want to have it because on TV, unfortunately, they see some of these, outcomes that we all would consider unnatural, exaggerated, stuff coming out of, I think, Hollywood sometimes, or one of the housewife shows with overdone lips and fillers, and it just makes plastic surgery a more difficult option to present to people when they see some of those results, because they start thinking that that can happen to them. And plus, on the internet, sometimes with all the information, many patients have a difficult time assimilating the pluses and the minuses of every procedure. So it works as a double-edged sword with all of that information. That's why I tell people, you know, you come in for a consultation, you want to do something that's going to be safe, effective, and that's going to give you consistent, reproducible results. And that's kind of what I, you know, preach to them and deliver.
What has been your most challenging surgery in your extensive career?
It goes back to the days of microsurgery. I'm now really like 99% cosmetic, you know, everything from all the Botox, fillers, Dysport, and all the other procedures. But years ago, I used to do a lot of microsurgery, and most of that reconstruction was trying to save people's legs or feet who had had either motorcycle accidents or severe infections that really debilitated their condition, both cosmetically and also functionally. So I remember a couple of cases. One gentleman, motorcycle accident, had 24 operations before he came to see me with a bone infection in his tibia, which is the strong bone in his leg. And I remember taking a muscle from his back and hooking it up to the blood vessels in his ankle, and we were able to cure the infection, give him stability, and have him walk shortly after the operation. But, you know, the operation took 15 hours, which I remember very vividly, 1986, November 14th. How I remember that, it's one of those things, certain things you do remember. But his first name was Daniel, obviously for, you know, privacy reasons, I can't reveal his last name. But Daniel and I have become good friends ever since. And when I see him walking into the office without crutches or without a wheelchair, without an open draining wound, it was very rewarding. Like I said, my practice has turned more and more cosmetic, so it's rewarding in a different way, but not surgically challenging like I did with the reconstructive. But I miss some of that. I miss some of those cases.
Well, looking on the other end, what has been a career highlight for you in your career?
I think delivering, I mean, in general, consistent, natural-looking results. I don't go for the overdone look. I don't believe in it. In my hands and in my judgment, tell my patients, rarely if ever have I, let's say, overdone something. In general, I seem to hit it right on the head or be just shy of that on the conservative side, which I can live with because it's a lot easier to maybe do a little bit more than it is if you've, let's say, overdone something and you have to kind of put back, which means you have to borrow from some other part of the body to restore something that was, let's say, over-resected or overdone. So I've been very happy with my long-term, you know, trends in terms of what I do and stay on the cutting edge of all the different procedures that, you know, change almost from week to week. But that's the exciting part. It's always stimulatory, and I try and, you know, filter out the good from the bad. I'm trying to give my patients the best value, you know, for them.
Well, tell our listeners where they can get more information online and also to be in contact with you there.
I'd love to do that. My website is www.drd@drdiktaban.com. And Diktaban is spelled D-I-K-T-A-B-A-N. So it's www.drdiktaban.com. My office is at 635 Madison Avenue in Manhattan, between 59th and 60th. The office number is 212-988-5656. With respect to cellulase, I'll give you the email address for that. It's info@cellulasenyc.com. And any of your listeners who are interested in coming to me for a consultation, just mention that they listen to the show, and I offer you a complimentary consultation.
You certainly can't beat that. In conclusion, Dr. Diktaban, what one thing could you leave with our listeners in form of a tip in conclusion?
Do your research. There's a lot of information out there, and some of it can be confusing. But I tell patients, you know, if they go shopping and they see, let's say, a dress on the rack, and I say, you have to have the feeling of, like, when you want that dress and you say, you know what, that's what I really want, that's the feeling, then you know you're ready, and that's the right decision. But there's a lot of information, and I tell people, do not make an important decision until you've had a chance to assimilate all the information and have that kind of, like, the light bulb goes off and saying, yes, that's it, that's what I want. Pick a good surgeon, someone who's board certified in plastic surgery, who has experience under his belt. And of course, you have to feel comfortable with that person and know that they will be taking care of you. That's pretty much it.
That's sound advice. We've been talking with Dr. Theodore Diktaban, a renowned, highly specialized plastic surgeon, researcher, and pioneer of minimally invasive surgical techniques with nearly 30 years of experience, and has been listed in the prestigious Castle Connolly, New York's top doctors directory as one of the best plastic surgeons in New York. And the website of reference, once again, is drdiktaban.com. Dr. Diktaban, thanks so much for joining us today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. We do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.